Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcasts while walking. It's some 33, 35 degrees, and it's quite humid. It's been raining for a couple of days, so it's hot and stinky, and by the time I walk up to the next village for my blood test, I'll be pretty smelly, I think, unfortunately, but that's the nature of things. I need a blood test every once in a while, every week or so, when I'm a naughty boy and my blood thinners don't work absolutely correctly. And this time I'm going to talk about generalized practical project progress. The podcasting thing has sort of stabilized. There's just one few more things I might want to do with it, whether it's if I have multiple podcasts broken up, so there's multiple recordings, non-contiguous, and see if I can make it a little bit more intelligent to work out. And that is, now I've got the generalized projects, and you can hear me, you can hear cars going past, and cicadas. Obviously, it's the moisture's out, they need a certain amount of moisture. And it's interesting that, it's just interesting how they actually go the cicadas there. Okay, well, getting back into it, I'm doing these projects, and you know that it's not that this emotional sense of abandonment, but it's, you know that if you're in a little boat in a big lake, you've got a long way to go. You've got to conserve water, get yourself psychologically up, and just keep a constant rate of paddling. And that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm just a constant rate of paddling, working on multiple projects. So if one doesn't go well, I can move on to the other and so forth, and let them incubate. So there's nothing worse than getting onto a project and you drive it into the ground, i.e. that people say no, the resources go no, and it's got potential, it requires a longer term look for it. So one of the projects is the Einstein pendulum, and I had the problem is that it was working insanely well, like orders of magnitude above the way it should work. I was banking on about 1,000, sort of 10 times the rate of change of current, and 10 times smaller inertia ratio. So these little babies will have a fairly big kick. But even so, switching lights came there, and I checked the circuits over and over again. And what it turned out to be was a intermittent relay fault. I'm using these relays, dumb, because that's what you can buy from stores, dumb stuff. The relays click, they make a noise, send a vibration through your device. It's sort of insane. You're going to be measuring the click of your relays. Now, the idea of the, and I'm breathing a little bit, because I'm going up the hill here, and the entire aim of all this exercise is to push yourself, so inevitably I find myself running out of, but that was mate Lloyd who drove past. Inevitably you find yourself running out of air and pushing yourself, because that's what you basically have to do all the time. Push yourself. You have, if you have a magnet and you have a nail, you put the magnet on the nail, turn the nail into a magnet, and that's a ferromagnetic effect. Ferrets in the same class, in that it turns into a reverse magnet. So if you put a north above it, it turns to a south, and the south pull each other together. The energy of the system reduces as the two come together. It's a little bit more complicated than just charge attraction. It's dipoles moving in a field gradient process, and essentially the compass is a dipole, and the idea is that you build a system and it's symmetric. So up here, look, the top of the hill here is the pool. My son's at the pool in his primary school. It's pretty remarkable. In years gone by, a substantial fraction, of kids at school would have their father's gone due to heart disease. Now with the advances in all this heart surgery and analysis, it's gone to heart's no longer the major killer. It's cancer and stuff like that. So that's a thought. Sorry for being so random in this. It's a sort of experiment written up by emeritus professors as the ideal lecture demonstration, if only it wasn't such a tricky thing to do. You have to eliminate the effects of the Earth's magnetic field. Now, I don't know. So I've done some calculations, obviously. So it's going to be very, very small. So essentially, the trading unit of angular momentum you get is an H. An H, Planck's constant, is extremely small, 10 to the minus 36, thereabouts. And you've got about 0.6 Giotto particles per mole, several grams. You might have 10 to the 24. So, you've got 8 orders of magnitude to go around, and obviously if you can increase the rate by a factor of 10, or in my case, up to a factor of 100, you know, the number of goes, and if you can change the momentum profile, the inertia of what you're trying to flick, so it's much more responsive, you can get up there, but you're still orders of magnitude away from seeing anything decent. And so this is a surprise that when you switch it on, it's just rooting to go. And of course, what had happened is that I built it at one stage, then I transferred it onto, I shouldn't say, once it doesn't work, I say, oh, it's built in China. These Chinese relays. Bank of 4 ultra-isolated relays powered by the Arduino board. So I use relays 1 and 2, and I think it's relay number 2 which it switches off some of the time. There's sort of like 3 states that a relay can be in. It can be one pole, nothing, the next pole. Now, solid states are nothing, it's on pole. Whereas you can get these relays which are dual pole. This one wasn't quite, relay number 2 wasn't quite a dual pole. Took a while to figure it out because you take a power test, it worked. Look at it, works. It's the only clue was that the Hass pendulum is going around. Look at me, I'm spinning. And obviously you want to do that because the Hass experiment is a very highly important in that it begs the question that science, school science and undergraduate science can't really answer. You know, there are all these things that you say, oh, electrons have 17 degrees symmetry, or or this idea you have is fundamentally wrong. It's not spinning at a particular speed. It's got a property of spin. And what happens is that you go into a situation where so-and-so has talked themselves into, for whatever reason, I don't know why you do it, Kingpin as the most greatest authority there's ever been since all the other chaps that have actually done the work, like Einstein and Newton, this Einstein, Newton, Bob Jones, whatever it is, you know, the science teachers there, they've somehow placed them up, themselves up on a pedestal. And so when you say, all this stuff you've learned in the textbook, it's bogus. That's an Australian word for not true. What happens is that they immediately look at you, all the clothing you're wearing, looking at whether someone else stupid has taken you down. And then they go, I think the person, stupid person who's taking you down is not so stupid. I go with them. I'm not going to change my thought pattern. So it's this horrible thing. So your Einstein de Haas pendulum is something which speaks to something which really works. And so I had this sort of nightmare situation of, so when you switch it on, magnetic field on, it turns into this fantastic magnet. And of course you can start to really play around with geometry. Once you go down that line, you can really do something with it. And so I've done it in the very first set, but this is the start of what I'm going to do. So you get going, and essentially, I think I've naturally fallen in the right thing to do. Trying getting it pretty normal. We don't expect it to work, and when it suddenly starts working, chuck it down. All I did was take it apart and wire it for 3 and 4. And the Arduino board is now, super easy. And so the tragedy is that I'm going at one level, but really there's so many other levels that we can improve on. So essentially we should just turf all our electronics away and go with the Arduino boards and the 0.125 inch spacing. So it's an eighth of an inch spacing, 8 per inch. So, what the heck is that? G'day, mate. This is gone. Now it's very stable. One thing I want to do is check its rotation rate with the magnetic field. So what I do is I give a hand tweak, film it, and then put the film into Camtasia, then use the comma and dot function to freeze frame where it's just about to, just as a little it shakes its booty when it just comes to rest. It doesn't come to rest neatly. I'm sure this is something which I'll have to really look into. So you can pick it, and generally you get a straight line fit period by the time you're taking about 9, but an incredibly 9, you get an accuracy of sometimes just 1, or the worst would be 9997 going through. So you've got your accuracy there, and then it's such an accurate timing, you feel a bit sort of a bit criminal just doing millisecond timing. But you just put that time, sort of a half period time into the Arduino board, and Bob's your uncle. Now, when it wasn't actually working, I could put basically any time in, and it would obey. It was such a such a heavy thing. Now, what happens is that you put a little screwdriver up to the top of your ferrite, and when the field's on, the screwdriver will be always ripped out of your hand. It's a fairly little powerful magnet you made. So it's the ferrite sitting there, and it's in the centre of this coil, and it's not moving anywhere. Hopefully, it's sort of lined it up by eye. And get there. Well, one of the things I want to do is so it's a 8mm by 90, so it's a 1:10 ratio one. And because ferrite isn't conducting and glue isn't conducting, I can get one twice as long, we're getting two of them, and just gluing them together. So this is one of the things I'm going to go, is get up at, the supermarket up here. I think I might get myself a drink, because I'm going to be, I have to be reasonably well hydrated, for the blood test. But I'll get some super glue. Now, so I've got these two ferrite rods, well I don't have two ferrite rods, so I'll pick another ferrite rod rot up tomorrow, and your head goes, oh, why not three? Well, this is, I've got plenty of time in my marooned abandoned ice, sort of like I've been torpedoed, I'm in life rafts, and what's happened is that the war is over, so they're no longer machining life. You're just left to drift ever into the mist. With that, you've got to ensure sort of like your experiments, a bit like a limited ration. You can't rush it. And so I've got the two ferrite rods now. Some knowledge of super glue is just so gorgeous. In it, super glue is an anaerobic adhesive, so with low viscosity. So I will hold up the two rods next to each other, press them up next to the ends of them together, and the glue will wick in and dry instantly. It's what a joy. Whereas other people, contact adhesive, you have to. So I really can't wait. Wait eventually to do that. Make something twice as long. And I've now sort of cleaned up one of the experiments. So it's now, magnetic field is there, and it's a pa! So what would that be? Tick tock. Probably 200 milliseconds. And of course, it'll be down to 1 millisecond, once I go solid state. I knew that would be up there. But the problem is that, it's basically uniform magnet. Now, what I don't understand is that these things are, got an enormous magnetic field. I don't know. 0.1 Tesla or something like that. Yeah. Enormous compared to the Earth's magnetic field, which is, micro Tesla, micro Gauss, was it? No. 70% Gauss and Tesla. really remember it. A waiver is a Tesla by area. I wonder what the gas is. Okay, so these experiments, I don't know how they set them up, but they're sensitive to the Earth's magnetic field, which of course eventually you say, well, if it is, I'll eventually be able to, you make your rig small so you can rotate it. See how, you know, there's got to be a direction of the magnetic field where it really doesn't matter. And I suppose what I've learnt is that with this, the magnetic field's on and it's rotating. Now you've controlled it. Well, I've controlled it. Having two strings, top and bottom. It's actually, it can't move up and down, it can't move to the side, it can only rotate. So it's not surprising that any perturbation, although I was surprised, spins it up. Sort of like, how is that happening? Still spins it a little bit with a north and south field. Now, it could well be that the currents may be a little bit different, forward and backwards. I'm not saying that though. Maybe just timing or something like that. And it's that gap. So it's, I've got a feeling that people's goes for the long time period. A, because they're emeritus, and look, essentially I'm emeritus professor, aren't I? I'm not paid, I'm hanging around the boondocks. But these guys have got lots of time, and if they find that their duty cycle from switching to power on matters, well, just leave a long time to switch on. They can go have their cup of tea, have a chat. The Haas experiment, moving, and so it's, I think it's that period. So what happens is you've got this gigantic compass needle. Okay, essentially it's a compass needle, and it will want to flip to point the north, will want to flip to point towards the north pole, which is the south magnetic pole. So our north pole, where our north needles pump to, I'm really unsure how this, you know, the field lines come out of the north pole, and the lines go. I have to really, really think what that means. So your compass, the north is the actual south pole marked on it. So essentially, you are going to have this oscillation system superimposed when you're making this system such that the the only asymmetry you're going to have in it is from your Earth's magnetic field. So if you build it well, the only thing which is not symmetric is your you've got your coil. So if you just reverse the current in it, you can get perfect symmetry. Now, it may well be that you can just cancel out the Earth's magnetic field just by dint of putting a small trim on the south, pointing when it goes to the south cycle. I don't know. So that's a long way to get there. So fortunately, the idea is, the end point is to say, to research it, to say, emeritus professors, so this would be, there's a consensus. a, what is it, a something, it's a consensus, but not a consensus of leadership, it's a consensus of reflection, upon, you know, various pundits in the field have independently and over a period of time have said, wouldn't it be good to go this direction because of these things? No one's in for a fight, but it has to be said that people are taught absolute rubbish at the moment. But the people who teach rubbish are armed up, cashed up, and that's really not the most important thing to fix in the planet. And maybe it's child abuse and global warming. Cashed up idiots are not the best, not important to go. But that being said, it might be surprising that if you fix this process, you're moving science into a reflective thing, and not requiring people to dress up and announce things and lead things. It's just science is just quietly doing its thing. So perhaps it may well be that fixing this particular problem may help you fix a whole raft of other problems down the track. So that's just my general theory, and it's just to try and get that that story out. So I think that's the one of the things you want to do is you move yourself from the I'm a mad sad geek, and I'm planning to escape. No, it's which is true, but it's also that if you listen to what people have said over a period of time, they've said, hang on, I think this is, I'm not the first person, I think a series of people throughout, they're not they're side observers, they've all said it, and no one's really, they've ignored them as they want, and in the process they've ignored them and ignored a whole heap of other things, been focused on themselves and not getting through. So I think that's the process to go up. The next experiment is the that's Ritchie 1. Ritchie 2 is one where I have wire going in and out of the heat source. It should be a rod, but temperature gradient is like creating a whole Peltier system, because you have a temperature Peltier coefficient, so a temperature gradient works for you. So your wire going into your heat source Peltier cools, and the wire going out of your heat source Peltier heats. G'day. And so what do you do? And the thing is that it takes a while, like it's taken a little while to look at the Haas experiments, that you're in a regime where there are things out on the internet, but it's in the too hard basket. And this one here, it's a Thompson effect, but no one's really demonstrated it. So my idea is, rather than measure the temperature, measure the thermal expansion of your, which is related to your temperature of your wire. Now, if your wire cools quickly, it's going to be cool for a much longer length of wire. okay, not only will it be cool down, it'll be cool for a lot longer and hot for a lot longer, if that makes sense. It's the temperature coefficient is several things. One is So you've got these two wires. Now, initially you want to compare the two expansions. So the first kit I had is a fixed heat source and the wire with two little feet on it. You measure. Then the two wires support the heater, and the heater is measured. There's a needle attached to it to monitor the needle. We have a few microns. You can do that with a microscope and a needle. A few, not 50 micron, that type of stuff. I think you'd have to see paper thickness, 50 micron, towards the cool end, and built that. And then the fundamental thing is that you can get a heater, but basically you want to have this at maximum current throughput. So if you've got a wire, which I have, and I built the entire system, it's only 1 ohm, it says, well, you can build that same system with a thinner wire, make it 10 ohm or something like that for your current process. So it's, you want to get maximum current density through there. So what they do is have an iron bar on the car battery. Well, that's 12 amps, all right. Well, probably 100 amps maximum if you don't blow your car battery up. And copper bar. No, it's actually much better to shrink it right down. Now, the thing is then get to move. Well, then the next idea is to get a lever effect, a displacement lever effect. That is two wires coming in at 90 degrees to each other to the heat source. So this is a series of the wires coiled up. So what happens is that the wires build up heat there, the high resistance, and you get essentially ohmic heating in the center. It's run away. You get something should be going nice and hot. Didn't even get close on that. This is why I went down to the hardware store. And I've got the basic smaller sliders. It's called tie-up wire. You just lash things together with this wire from, I think it's from a farming tradition. It's, what they call wind lashing. You used to use it all the time, and, putting up barbed wire obstacles. You put it up and then you get some wire and tie it up and get, something metal and crank it up and wind it up. I don't know how good it is. So I have to get a thinner wire, get the super glue here, and then hot melt glue it down to the input terminals onto a soft ferrite magnet, then place it on a steel cooler. So you've got basically an optical table, mini optical table, to build this on, and put the wire. So I've built this up fairly schmick, and so again, you can see just inching inching away. And the point is not to come and say beat down the door, but say, well, in any given conference, it is the people that the press speak to, the people that the press speak to, and young people. It is the older, wiser heads who are saying, you know what, I think we've got what we need here to, if we're not interested in being first and doing things for the first time, I think we've got what we want here to actually make a difference. And so essentially there is no way, gosh, I'm going to be so hot here, there's no way that it's great being hot, except the doctor's thing. They have a ferociously cold air conditioner. What I'll do is I'll go and get a drink before I go in, because I'm pretty sure I've sweated out all the general idea is that you've got to not drink a diuretic. Okay, so don't have a cup of tea or coffee. It's because that actually that's a drink which drops your blood fluid. That's not good. But yes, so even if you don't go to the toilet, your bladder fills up with the stuff. So you wonder why this is so important. So yeah, it's the need to break off from Malay and reformulate a direction we're coming from, which isn't a direction that can wait, and it's a direction that people see is worthwhile. We're about to cross the road here, but right, it is bloody hot here. Here we go. So it's that with cooler heads, it's really science of the cooler head. That is chilled science. That is stop the press, stop the action. Hang on, if we can pull this out of what we know already, we can do that. So it's hard to say, and you're not going to get a collegiate support, because collegiate stuff doesn't actually exist in science or education. So you're on your own there. So it's coming across. Here we go. I'll do it then. I'll pour blood people. I'm sweating like a pig going through for them. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.